in among the coral formations that rise off the bed of pale sand, like Baroque fortifications. The house is roomy and ancient, set back in the hills and built like a castle someone has sliced the top off. The resulting flat roof space is railed in on three sides and set with mosaic patios. At the back, you can walk straight off it into the hills. Inside, there's enough space for all of us to be alone if we want to be, and furnishings that encourage gatherings in the kitchen and dining area. The house systems pipe in music a lot of the time. Unobtrusive Spanish guitar from Adoracion and Latimer City Pop. There are books on most of the walls. During the day, the temperatures crank up to something that makes you want to get in the water by a couple of hours after breakfast. In the evening, it cools off enough that you pull on thin jerseys or jackets if you're going to sit out on the roof and watch the stars, which we all do. It isn't any night sky you'd see from the pilot deck of the Anjan Chandra's Virtue right now. One of the contractors told me they'd drawn the format from some archived Earth original. No one really cares. As afterlives go, it's not a bad one. Maybe not up to the standard someone like Hand would expect. Not nearly restricted enough entry, for one thing. But then this one was designed by mere mortals. And it beats whatever the dead crew of the Tanya Wardani are locked into. If the Chandra's deserted decks and corridors give it the feel of a ghost ship, the way Amelie Vongsavath says they do, then it's an infinitely more comfortable form of haunting than the Martians left us on the other side of the gate. If I'm a ghost, stored and creeping electron-swift in the tiny circuitry in the walls of the battle wagon, then I have no complaints. But there are still times when I look around the big wooden table in the evenings, past the emptied bottles and pipes, and I wish the others had made it. Crookshank I miss especially. Dupre and Sun and Vongsavath are good company, but none of them has quite the same abrasive cheeriness the Lyman Highlander used to swing about her like a conversational mace. And, of course, none of them is interested in having sex with me the way she would have been. Suchiati didn't make it either. His stack was the only one I didn't turn into slag on the beach of Dangrek. We tried downloading it before we left Dig 27, and he came out shrieking insane. We stood around him in a cool, marbled courtyard format, and he didn't know us. He screamed and gibbered and drooled, and shrank away from anyone who tried to reach out to him. In the end, we turned him off, and then wiped the format as well, because in all our minds, the courtyard was contaminated for good. Sun has muttered something about psychosurgery. I remember the wedge demolition sergeant they re-sleeved once too often, and I wonder. But whatever psychosurgery there is on Latimer, Suchiati will get. I'm buying. Suchiati, Crookshank, Hansen, Zhang. Some would say we got off lightly. Sometimes when I'm sitting out under the night sky with Luke Dupre and a shared bottle of whiskey, I almost agree. Periodically, Vongsavath disappears. A primly dressed construct modeled after a Hun Hom settlement years bureaucrat comes to collect her in an antique soft-top air jeep. He fusses with her collision safety harness, to the amusement of everyone watching, and then they wheel about and drone off into the hills behind the house. She's rarely gone more than half an hour. Of course, in real time, that's a couple of days. Roespinoegi's contractors slowed the onboard virtuality down for us, about as far as it would go. It must have been some kind of a first for them. Most clients want virtual time running at tens or hundreds of times reality standard. But then, most people don't have a decade and more with nothing better to do than sit around. We're living out the 11-year transit in here at about 100 times the speed it's really passing. Weeks on the Chandra's shadow-crewed bridge pass in hours for us. We'll be back in the Latimer system by the end of the month. It really would have been easier to just sleep through it, but Carrera was no worse a judge of human nature than any of the other carrion birds gathered about the paralyzed body of Sanction IV. Like all vessels with potential to escape the war, the battle wagon is grudgingly equipped with a single emergency cryo cap for the pilot. It isn't even a very good one. Most of Vongsavath's time away is taken up with the D and refrosting time required by the over-complex cryo systems. That Hun Hom bureaucrat is an elaborate joke on Sun Li Ping's part. suggested, and then written into the format when Vongsavath returned one evening, spitting curses at the inefficiency of the cryocap's processor. Vongsavath exaggerates, of course, the way you do about minor annoyances when life is so close to perfect in its major aspects. Most of the time she's not gone long enough for her coffee to get cold, and the systems checks she performs on the pilot deck have so far proved 100% superfluous. New Inovic guidance systems. Like Sun once said in the hull of the Martian ship, they don't build the stuff any better than this. I mentioned that comment to her a couple of days ago as we lay floating on our backs in the long aquamarine swells out beyond the headland, eyes slitted against the sun overhead. She could barely remember saying it. Everything that happened on Sanction 4 is already starting to seem like a lifetime ago. In the afterlife, you lose track of time, it seems. Or maybe you just no longer have the need or desire to keep track. Any one of us could find out from the virtuality data head how long we've been gone, when exactly we'll arrive. But it seems none of us wants to. We'd prefer to keep it vague. Back on Sanction 4, we know, years have already passed. But exactly how many seems, and probably is, irrelevant. The war may already be over. The peace already being fought over. Or it may not. It's hard to make it matter more than that. The living do not touch us here. For the most part, anyway. Occasionally, though, I wonder what Tanya Wardani might be doing by now. I wonder if she is already out on the edges of the sanction system somewhere, turning the face of some new sleeve, tired and intent as she pores over the glyph locks on a Martian dreadnought. I wonder how many other dead-wired hulks there are spinning around out there, whirling up to trade fire with their ancient enemies and then falling away injured into the night again, machines creeping out to soothe and repair and make ready for the next time. I wonder what else we're going to come across in those unexpectedly crowded skies once we start looking. And then occasionally, I wonder what they were all doing there in the first place. I wonder what they were fighting for in the space around that nondescript little star, and I wonder if in the end they thought it was worth it. Even more occasionally, I turn my mind to what I have to do when we do get to Latimer. But the detail seems unreal. The Quellists will want a report. They'll want to know why I couldn't twist camp closer to their designs for the whole Latimer sector. Why I changed sides at the critical moment. And worst of all, why I left things no better aligned than they were when they needle-cast me in. It's probably not what they had in mind when they hired me. I'll make something up. I don't have a sleeve right now, but that's a minor inconvenience. I've got half a share in 20 million UN dollars banked in Latimer City. A small gang of hardened spec op friends, one of whom boasts blood connection to one of the more illustrious military families on Latimer. A psychosurgeon to find Versucciati. A bad-tempered determination to visit the Lyman Highlands and give Yvette Cruikshank's family the news of her death. Beyond that, a vague idea that I might go back to the silver-grassed ruins of Inanen and listen intently for some echo of what I found on the Tanya Wardani. These are my priorities when I get back from the dead. Anyone who has a problem with them can line right up. In some ways, I'm looking forward to the end of the month. This afterlife shit is overrated. This concludes Broken Angels by Richard K. Morgan.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.